Good morning and welcome to episode 5 of the Business Blueprint. I am your host, Joe Sandeen, joined by my co-host, Clay Craby, who is not in studio today, who's joining us remotely. We'll see if a couple older techie experienced guys can still do it in their 40s. But today I noticed on the way over here, it was 49 degrees on my car. And if I remember right, about 2 days ago, it was like minus 5 or minus 10. Degree. So I started having visions of spring and March, which was exciting on one hand because I love summertime and going to the lake and all that good stuff. But on the flip side, it made me a little sad because it is December 16th. We are at the end of the year. One of my favorite times in business to reflect on the previous year, what we've accomplished, what we maybe haven't accomplished, and to set goals for the year. So on today's episode, we're gonna do a little reflection of how to look at your business and kind of what you've accomplished over the year, and really how to go into 2026 with some momentum and some do's and some don'ts, just to really set you up well for the coming year. So it's really important, I think, to start by reflecting. Clay, what's your take on having a good reflection at the end of the year here going into 2026?
Yeah, you know, the joke always is, you know, at December, anything from like Thanksgiving to the other side of New Year's, nothing happens. Nothing's going on. Nobody's coming into work. Nobody's getting anything done, which there's probably some truth to that, depending on what industry you're in. But that does give you a lot of time for planning, so you can really utilize that time well. And one of those aspects is just the importance of reflecting on the year that you just had. Because if you're going to think about, okay, what are we going to plan for 2026? What are we going to do in the year ahead? If you don't reflect on what just happened, you're not going to be able to go through that process well. I mean, would you agree with that, Joe?
I totally agree. And, you know, I think that kind of leads into one thing that we do. So we've talked about the EOS operating system for a couple episodes here before today. And one thing I think is super important is to take some of your own time to reflect on the year. And then as you carry forward, one thing we do with our leadership team is we have an annual planning meeting. So we get offsite for 2 days. And we really dig in and work on the business because, I mean, you get so entrenched in the business all year long that it can get hard to, you know, really reflect on what worked and what didn't work and then carry proper priorities into the coming year. So one thing I always recommend is get your team off site, spend a day or two together. I think it's important to work on the business and then also just bond as a team and to get closer personally and really understand each other. And so that's been a staple at Onsharp for about 15 years ever since we've been doing EOS, is to kind of start that planning process by going offsite and just giving yourself a clean space to think.
So when you're doing that and you get the team together, and offsite sounds like a really helpful idea, get kind of out of the distractions, give them permission to not be in their inbox or, you know, on Teams chat or something. What kind of questions are you bringing into that meeting? What does the reflection element of that look like when you're reviewing what just happened in the previous, you know, 11, 12 months?
Yeah, good question. And I actually brought our agenda from last year just kind of as a model to talk through. So one thing we do when we kick off our meeting is just give everyone a chance to kind of outline their own, their three greatest business accomplishments or what they think the organization's three greatest accomplishments were. And then also on the personal side, I mean, there's a personal component to business too, and I think it's important to marry the two together. And so we always kick our meeting off with, what are the three things both personally and professionally that we're proud of that we accomplished? Because you can go an entire year and I think you can tend to forget about all the great things that you've done, and you can maybe get bogged down by all the things that you think about that didn't get accomplished. But that's a good way for us to kind of kick that process off by really starting with some positive momentum and really giving everyone a chance to talk about, you know, what went well for the year and what they accomplished. And then honestly, we just kind of work through the EOS components. So we work through kind of reviewing our rocks for the past quarter or for the past year, talking through, you know, how well we handled issues, processes, people, you know, and then we do a SWOT analysis too. So we kind of look at the business and say, okay, where do we have strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats to kind of set the table for the planning of the coming year.
Yeah. And this, I mean, I appreciate that this will be different for the listener, depending on what business they're in, what their role is in the business. But when you think of like hard metrics and data, what are you looking at when you're looking backwards before you start planning ahead?
Yeah, so obviously a key component is the scorecard. So one thing we look at very closely is how did we do as far as hitting our numbers on a week-by-week basis? I think sometimes throughout the year you can tend to maybe be off on some of your scorecard numbers and you maybe hide from that a little bit, or you make some exceptions, or you think, oh, we're going to turn that around and fix it. But it's a good opportunity at the end of the year to look back holistically over 52 weeks and say, okay, where do I see red on the scorecard? Where do I see green? And that's a really good indicator into what's working in the business and what's not. So it really helps flesh out things that need to go on the issues list pretty quickly, is just taking a quick visual look at the scorecard.
Yeah. And I think any time that you're having, whether it's a weekly, quarterly, especially yearly, it can feel like you did a lot of things and maybe the results aren't there. How can you start to really dig in to see, yeah, we were busy the whole time, but did we actually move the needle? Did we move things forward? How can you really take an honest look at that and break down the difference between just activity and actual results?
Yeah, good question. I think that'll really show in your execution as far as quarterly rocks. So if you look back at the year and you feel like your rock completion percentage is only 30, 40, 50%, then I think you probably have an issue where you're, you know, and if you felt busy, well, then you're probably spending time on busy work and not things that actually get your rocks done. And that's very common. I think we can tend to be pulled in a million directions in a business and just kind of respond to what's in front of us. And then we lose track of what we committed to getting done in that 90-day period. And I struggle with that myself. You know, I get into the day and I start doing stuff and I realize, like, wow, I've, you know, whether it's today or this week, I haven't really done much to move any of my rocks forward. So I think that kind of rears its head when you look at your stats in terms of rock completion, weekly to-do completion, and are you actually accomplishing the things that you said were most important for the company?
Yeah, and it's been mentioned a bunch already. We're going to probably mention it a bunch more as the conversation goes on here. But if for folks that didn't listen in on what EOS was all about, this entrepreneurial operating system for your business, can you just give a quick definition of ROC? Because it is really important to this process.
Yeah, good question. So a ROC is a 90-day to-do item. So when you're having your 90-day meeting rhythm, so as our leadership team, or if you're in a marketing, sales team, operations team, they do that as well, you set 90-day ROC. So you look at the quarter and you say, okay, what are the maybe 3 to 5 things we need to accomplish as the company or in our department to get done? What's going to drive us towards our annual goals? And the nice thing about EOS is everything works itself backwards. So from the far visionary level, you know, you set a big, you know, 10-year target of what we're trying to do, what's our big hope and dream, and you work your way backwards. So then you work it to a 3-year plan, you work it to an annual goal. And then the closest level of implementation becomes ROC setting for the quarters. So it's hard for people to stay focused beyond 90 days. You kind of need a reset every 90 days. So that 90-day ROC rhythm is just a really good system for resetting priorities, looking at where you're at, you know, compared to the annual plan, and figuring out what needs to get done to get that accomplished by the end of the year.
Yeah. And not to revisit our previous couple of episodes entirely, but it really shows how important having some structure in place is. If you are just every day, you wake up, you go into work, and you're just doing that day's business and hoping for the best long term, that's not going to work. You have to have some goals. You have to have this data coming in. You have to have this structure that allows you to look back and see, like, is this working? What do we need to change?
Yeah, and that's where businesses get stuck. I mean, they get to a certain point of growth and, you know, there's different ceilings at different points in a business. But, you know, I remember back in 2014, 2015, we were kind of in a similar place where, you know, maybe we weren't implementing EOS very well or sticking to our annual plan and our rocks. And it showed, because we were responding too much to, I guess, just the issue of the day. And we were getting things done, but were those the things that were actually moving the business forward? They really weren't. So, you know, everyone is kind of stuck in this world of there's way more to get done than you have time to do. And so that's why it's very important that you don't let the shiny stuff, you know, detract you from focusing on what you've set, you know, what you and your team have decided are the priorities for the quarter or for the year.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you want to turn the past 12 months from a bunch of stuff that happened into like insight into things that you can use to help you plan for the year ahead, you've got to have this time of reflecting on what the previous 12 months was like, highs and lows, what goals were hit, what goals were missed. So as we continue in this episode, we're talking about how you can really set yourself up for success in your business in 2026 by having planning sessions When we come back after this break, we're going to talk about the importance of having a stop doing list, which is perhaps as important, if not more, than the to-do list. So we'll see you right back on the Business Blueprint. Well, welcome back to the Business Blueprint Show. We're helping companies work smarter, scale faster, and build better. And specifically on this episode, we're talking about the importance of taking time at the end of the year to plan the next year, because we want you to be able to, you know, audit your priorities and your habits and your strategies. And we just spoke about the importance of reflecting on the past year. And now we want to take the time to talk through what it looks like to set plans and put things in place for 2026 for your business. So, Joe, as we think about this time of reflection and then really putting this into action, there's lots of things that we can add to the to-do list, but can you talk a little bit about the importance of maybe a stop doing list as well?
Yes, I think the stop doing list has proven to be sometimes far more important than the start doing list. So, you know, the average company probably sets 2 to 3 times the number of priorities than it actually has capacity for. So I think the biggest issue most of us run into when we get to the end of the year is we just say, wow, we set our goals a little too high. We needed to cut things out more than we needed to add. And so I think when you go into 2026, you know, especially in the kind of world we live in now where you're just, everyone's expected to do more with less, and there's just, you know, a lot of pressure on people to wear a lot of different hats. I think you have to take a serious look at what you have in your plate and decide, what do I need to stop doing, not necessarily start doing, because you need to create space to be able to get those things done that you actually commit to. So I think it's all about setting fewer priorities but having them be truly meaningful. So I think you got to dig through all the weeds and really push yourself to understand what actually does have to get done in this business and what doesn't necessarily need to make it to the top of the list.
Yeah, and no one at OnSharp would accuse you of bringing in new initiatives or ideas throughout the year.
No, I mean, I'm really,
what we're already doing.
I'm really good at taking things off the list, as you've experienced, Clay, I'm sure. No, I mean, I probably drive everyone crazy with ideas. And so it is a challenge. I think it's hard to taper back like that. And I think, you know, I reflect as a leader in our company, and you got to be careful because you put too many priorities on everyone's plate and you add a lot of stress and you make people feel like they're failing when in reality they're not, and they are getting a lot done. And so you just got to be careful. So I think it's important to really challenge yourself this coming year on what has to get done and what maybe can get, you know, pushed to a later year or maybe something that just doesn't, you know, take priority, because if you put too many things on the top of the list, nothing's going to get done.
Yeah. So in our line of work, software development, we talk about the concept of scope creep. What does that mean in relation to software, and what might that look like in a business?
Yeah. So in the world of software, scope creep means just adding more features than you maybe agreed to. So you're trying to get something out the door, and what scope creep does is it starts allowing you or putting you in a position where you're like, oh, let's add that one more feature and let's do this and let's change that. And it all takes more work. And so, you know, what do you sacrifice with scope creep? You sacrifice cost. Things get more expensive. And you sacrifice your timeline. You don't get things done when you want to get them done. So, again, that's where proper planning is helpful. So make some strong decisions as a team. What is done and not – what is done mean and what is not done mean? And be very deliberate about that, because if you let – you know, if you go into the year with a strong annual plan and then by the middle point of the year, it looks totally different. Well, there you've got a lot of scope creep going on. That's not a good thing. It'll create a lot of chaos.
Yeah. So as you come together, you have this end of year planning session. Maybe you're offsite like OnSharp does, but whatever that might look like, you might be in a small business. It's just you at a desk and maybe turn the phone off for a little while. As you're evaluating what the past year looked like, what are some examples that might land on a stop doing list? What practically might that look like?
You know, practically speaking, I think, you know, we talked about in the last segment there that you need to reflect on the scorecard, right? So which numbers are off, which numbers are on. I think one litmus test I use is, am I doing things that don't move the needle on the scorecard? Like, am I trying to accomplish things that don't drive the metrics that the business is looking to achieve? So I think that's one thing. And then number two would be, am I doing things that have nothing to do with rocks for the quarter? So if we said that we're going to get A, B, C, and D done this quarter, and I find myself doing all these other things that have nothing to do with those rocks, I think that's a pretty good indicator that that you should maybe stop doing those things, because that's going to put you at risk to not getting your rocks accomplished.
Yeah. And when you're looking at the business as a whole too, you might identify, you know, certain offerings or services that you've added to your core business that really just don't even make sense. I mean, over the years, OnSharp has stopped offering certain services, right?
Yeah, I think my biggest issue as an entrepreneur is I feel like I can help anyone with anything. And so in the world of tech, it can be really enticing to try to have a really broad marketing message to say, oh, you know, we're general tech consultants and we can do this and we can do that. And then when a client comes to you and they need something that you could technically do, but you're not best at it, you know, you want to say yes, right? You know, I don't like to say no to people, but I think the thing that I've learned is you start saying yes to the things that you're not great at, and it tarnishes the reputation of what you are great at. Because if you start doing things that you don't have process for, your team doesn't do it on a regular basis, you're probably going to underperform on those things. And then it's going to make everything else you do well not look so great. So I think part of protecting your brand too, it's really important to stay to your focus and not let yourself chase after all those shiny things.
Yeah, I think there's a good way to think about it too. There's a limited amount of things you can do in any area of your business. So there's only so much time, only so much energy, only so much budget. So you can't do everything. And that might include what you sell, what you offer, but it also might be internal things. You may think of on the marketing end of stuff. You only have so much budget. You only have so many hands, you know, prepping campaigns and things like that. There's going to be times where you need to reflect and add to the stop doing list. Maybe certain advertising vehicles that you have, certain digital campaigns, whatever that might look like, that might end up on the, we're not going to do this anymore because it's not having a positive ROI.
Yeah. And in a world where businesses are, you know, just trying to run leaner and do more with less, you just don't, I mean, your team doesn't have the time to be taking on extra priorities. You know, one thing that was very meaningful to me, man, this is probably 15 years ago or so, a buddy of mine who I went to school with who started his own tech business, but had a very deliberate focus. I was at a trade show or a conference that he was at, and we were talking for a while, and he goes, you know what, Joe, the best thing I ever did in my business was I focused razor sharp on what we're best at, and we grew faster than we've ever grown before because we stayed focused. So I think when you just try to do too much for too many people, you know, what are you really known for? Like, it hurts your marketing message, but it also just, you know, you can't become an expert at anything. And in a world where, you know, in today's world, businesses are going deep, you know, more so than wide. And so the client expects that you're going to be an expert in what you're going to help them with. So it can be a dangerous thing to try to be too broad, you know, in your capabilities. So,
yeah. So as you reflect on your previous year, as you plan for 2026, there's a lot of things that you might find that you want to stop doing, but it's not all on the stop doing list. You might want to start new things as well. How can you identify opportunities, areas that you want to start in the year ahead?
I think that really is driven from the issues list primarily. So I mean, at the end of the day, what you discuss in your team are problems in the business, I think that really drives a lot of the what needs to get accomplished. I mean, obviously you have your VTO, your vision traction organizer that tells you, hey, what are our core values? What's our long-term plan? You need to be driving towards that. But a really good exercise in your annual planning is looking back at, you know, what are some of the bigger core issues that we have that really need to get resolved? When we work through our weekly leadership meetings, sometimes we have issues that come up that are things we know we need to resolve, but they're not like in the moment things that we're going to get done this quarter. So we put them on what we call the VTO issues list. So we know that, okay, when we go into our annual planning meeting, that's something that we're going to have to spend maybe an hour or two or a considerable amount of time talking through. So I think when it comes to like start doing and what you need to work on, again, it needs to be driven by the long-term goals of the company and then understanding what are the biggest barriers that are keeping us from getting that goal accomplished. Those should be the things that you really prioritize as far as what you need to start doing.
Yeah, and obviously anything that you start new is stuff that you might be reflecting on in the year ahead. So you want to make sure you're building in some sort of monitoring, some sort of reporting, gathering data. Obviously, when we talk about scorecard, it's just keeping track of those important metrics. So you want to assign those things to these things so you can determine you know, if not at certain points in the year, quarterly or whatever, at the end of next year, you can decide, okay, does this stay on the continue list or does this go to the stop doing list?
Yep. Yeah, and one just really quickly before we go to break, one thing we do in our leadership meetings is we actually take an opportunity to let each of us go around the room and tell everyone, you know, there's four of us in our leadership meeting, and we all just flat out call out things that we want that person to start or stop doing. And so we create a pretty high level of accountability. So what I love is that I can hear directly from my team, you know what, Joe, it would be great if you could stop doing this or if you could start doing that. And then once we go around and kind of hear from everyone, then each person picks one of the things that they heard and actually commits to either start or stop doing that. And so then when we come back for our next quarterly meeting, everyone can go around the room and say, has Joe gotten better or worse or the same at that? And I can understand, you know, am I actually accomplishing the start or the stop that I committed to doing? So that's a pretty cool thing we do in our team that helps create some accountability and push us to make change.
Yeah, a lot of good, open, honest communication there. When we come back on the other side of the break, we're going to talk about how you can be intentional with your planning so you're not setting vague goals or unrealistic goals. So join us when we come back for the other side of Business Blueprint. Well, welcome back to the Business Blueprint. My name is Clay, here with Joe Sandeen, founder, president of OnSharp, and we're talking about planning for your business for 2026. And we just want to help you think through practical ways that you can set, you know, a good plan in place, something that you can achieve, something that is realistic, something that is ambitious. As we get into that, Joe, is there some difference that they should think through regarding, you know, goals, individual goals, and just the direction of the company? How should they be thinking about that in a planning session?
You know, I think it has to come from, you know, you need direction first and then goals second. So when it comes to annual planning, I think it comes down to, we go through a process of reviewing our core values, our purpose, our passion, our marketing. Like we review everything on what's called page one of the VTO. So it's really everything up through the 3-year plan. And I think that's a good time to reflect and say, has anything changed? You know, we do update our 3-year picture every year annually, which is a constant that changes. But I think you always have to take a reflection and say, you know, do the core values still feel right? Does our long-term vision still feel right? Are we marketing to the right people? You know, all those components of like what makes your business what it is and makes it tick. I think it has to start there. Because if you don't do that first, you might continue to set rocks and goals that are just driving you in the wrong direction. And again, you have to make sure you're all rowing in the same direction together and in the right direction. So I always like to start with direction first and then goals second.
Is it fair to say like in the year, it's March, it's June, whatever, your direction is going to stay the same, but your goals might change as you know, things, reality changes, or you're taking stock of what's working, what's not?
Yeah, I mean, your direction, again, is kind of your vision and where you're going. So, I mean, hopefully that isn't changing mid-year. I mean, it's possible that your company decides to just move in a whole different direction and you may need to have a separate meeting to discuss that. But generally speaking, you're going to set an annual plan at the beginning of the year and you're going to stick to that plan. It is possible that the annual plan can change. Maybe something that you thought was a priority, you get 6 months in and it's no longer, you know, a priority. And that's okay. I think at the end of the day, there's no point in continuing to pursue something that you know just doesn't feel right. So hopefully you don't have a lot of change in your annual plan and you can be setting quarterly rocks to kind of get you to where you said you want to go by the end of the year. But, you know, things do change. You know, sometimes the economy changes on you too, or you have a major workforce change, or, you know, it's very possible that changes in the business are going to, you know, cause you to readjust. But, you know, that's the whole point of the 90-day rhythm, you know. Hopefully within your 90-day window, things are pretty consistent, but then you come back to the table, whether it's in April or July or August or whatever it is, and you say, you know what, some things have changed, so we need to set different rocks this quarter to keep us going towards our one-year plan. And sometimes you just have to adjust the plan, and that's fine too.
Yeah. So as you're planning for 2026, you're planning for the next year, you have to set some priorities. How many priorities should businesses think about setting?
Fewer is better. I've seen as little as one identified priority, and I've seen way too many, that's for sure. I mean, I've seen companies have 7 to 10 or more goals for the year, and I mean, if you can do it, more power to you. But I think realistically, 3 to 5 is probably the right number. So we at OnSharp try to never have more than 5 goals for the year that the company's going to say it's going to accomplish. And again, that's got to break down into rocks throughout the course of the year. So there's going to be many components and many building blocks to getting that major goal done. But less is more. The more you can focus all your energy on a couple super important things and to be able to look back and say, wow, if we actually get those 2 or 3 things done, or less than 5 ideally, we're really going to be in a good spot versus, oh, wow, we put 8 things on the list and it was just way too much. And so we got, 7 of them done 50% and 1 of them done 100%. That's not going to get you very far. So fewer is definitely better.
Yeah. And it's defeating to have 20 goals, 20 priorities, and you're never going to get them done. It's better to have a handful. And can you think of some examples, just what some of those goals might look like for a particular business for a yearly goal?
You want a good example or a poor example?
I'll take both.
I think good examples are, let's just give an example. You really want to introduce a new product line or a service line. I think that's a big task to do. So if you're going to do something like that, try not to have a lot of other goals. I think bad examples are when you maybe just get too detailed into the weeds. Sometimes what you think are your annual goals are really just rocks for different departments. So one thing you have to really be able to do is kind of go back up to that 50,000 foot view of the company and say, broadly speaking, what are the goals that we're trying to achieve? Sometimes putting too many metric, like we've got to hit a certain number, can be risky. We need to hit 20 million in revenue, or we need to hit this number. I love numbers and I'm okay with it, but you're going to definitely succeed or fail on that number. And so make sure that if you pick a number, is that the number that really matters? Like a lot of times in my business or at OnSharp, we have a certain revenue number we would love to hit, but what's more important is running a solid, profitable company and other things that I think matter more than just simply hitting a certain revenue number. So pick your numbers carefully and make sure you're using the numbers that are really going to matter and inspire people. I think if everything's just metrics, money driven, it's not that inspiring to everyone in the company. So you have to pick things that are really catering to the passion and why you guys get up every day to do what you do. That's going to, I think, motivate people a lot more than just straight up numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think when people set goals, whether it's their personal lives, their business, whatever, I think people have a hard time striking that balance between being ambitious and being unrealistic. Do you have any thoughts on how business leaders can set achievable goals, but ones that are going to require, a lot of work?
Well, don't set goals in a silo, that's for sure. So, a lot of times business owners can just dream up what they wish the business would look like in a year from now, and they don't really consult other members of the leadership team. They don't consult their employees. So they end up setting goals that everyone's like, oh my gosh, that's never going to happen, or that's, pie in the sky wish. So I think you need to make sure that whatever you decide, you have extreme confidence across the team that, yes, these are the right goals. We know we can achieve this, because you're not going to do it by yourself. You need to be delegating things to your team, and it's a team effort. So I think you just got to be doing it as a team, not on an island by yourself, which is appealing. It's nice to be able to, convince yourself, oh, I know we can do this. But it's just, again, over 25 years, I've learned things are just harder than you think, and there's just more moving parts than you even realize. So you just got to taper expectations a little bit.
Are there ways that you can build flexibility into your planning? You mentioned earlier, you could be doing great, but the economy tanked. There's different variables that are outside of your control. How can you set plans in place for your business, but still maintain a little bit of a flexibility in there as well?
Yeah. If you set the right goals for the year, they shouldn't really define the implementation. The goal is the goal, and then rock setting is where you kind of dig into the weeds and decide how are we going to actually tactically accomplish the goal. So I think if you set them properly and make sure that they're not totally hindering on one thing, and if it succeeds or fails, it's like the entire success or failure of the goal, then it just comes into the end, the quarter by quarter, week by week, how the team carries out the goal. It's taken us many, many years to, properly set the right number of goals for the year and to write them properly. And, you know, we've made a lot of mistakes, and that's okay. It might take several years, for example, of implementing EOS to really get good at, you know, picking the right number and what are the right things to go after. But again, I think it's important to let your team take their accountability and have a stake in actually defining how we're going to get it done. I don't think you have to necessarily tell them exactly how to do it.
Yeah, and I think this is one of those areas where having a plan is better than having no plan. You definitely want a poor plan is much better than no plan when it comes to looking at the year ahead. So you'll get better. You'll get better at selecting the right number of priorities, the right types of goals, trying to strike that balance between being ambitious to kind of stretch and grow the business without, you know, snapping and causing a lot of issues or just setting things that are never going to happen. So I just really encourage business owners as they're thinking through this, especially if they've not done a great job of it in the past, to still take that time and really try to plan for the year ahead.
Yeah. And one thing we do quarter over quarter as we're doing rocks is whoever owns the rock, and there should only be one owner of a rock. If more than one person owns it, really nobody owns it, because it's like, who's accountable? But one thing we force ourselves to do is everyone has to write a rock plan. So it's a way of giving visibility to the rest of the team and being accountable to say, okay, I've committed to doing this quarter, making sure this gets done. Let me break it down for you and show you how this works over the course of 3 months, what has to get done. Because every week you're going to go into your team meeting and you're going to report on rocks, and the owner's going to say on track or off track. And so we need to be able to hold each other accountable. If someone says they're on track, but you look at their rock plan and it's like, dude, it doesn't look like you're on track. We need to talk about this. Yeah. I think just the transparency of that is awesome. And I like that.
Awesome. Well, as we continue the conversation on the other side of the break, we're going to look at how you can bring your people, your processes, and all your systems along for a good 2026 as you plan for the year ahead. So we'll be right back on the Business Blueprint. Welcome back to the Business Blueprint. We've been talking about how your business can write your own blueprint for a successful 2026 and thinking through how to reflect on the previous year and how to plan for the year ahead. But Joe, we recognize that the plan only works. You can set all these great plans, but if your people in the business aren't ready to execute on that, if they're not, you know, being communicated with, that you're really not going to get off to a good start. So what does being ready actually mean for a business? How can they start, you know, January 1st, Q1, on this side of, you know, Christmas and New Year's, how can they start ready to execute these plans that they're doing?
Yeah, I think it all comes down to good communication to kick off the year. So one thing we do as part of EOS is we have our annual company-wide meeting. So we come off of our planning meeting as a team. So we do a two-day offsite leadership team meeting. We spend a lot of time together talking through last year, where we want to go this year. We set our goals for the year. We do all this work, right? We are exhausted when we're done, but the work's not done at that point. So then the key comes into, you've got to make sure that the entire company and the team understands that. So we have an annual company-wide meeting. So our very first one would be kind of by mid-January once we get everything ready. And we just give all transparency to everyone in the company. So we do this every quarter. So that's just part of EOS. So we report on how we did on our rocks. We set new, you know, we clearly communicate what the new company rocks are for the quarter. But in the annual one in January, we do a little extra reflection on, you know, being accountable, coming back and saying, okay, here were the annual goals. Were they done? Were they not done? What are we doing about it? So I think the key is everyone needs to know what matters in the company and what they own. And so you need to just be really clear and really visible and transparent so that everyone understands, okay, this is where we're going. This is what is important to us. And if you do a good job of that and you communicate that well, then I think you're going to kick off the year with a good start and everyone kind of knowing, okay, this is what I need to focus on and this is what my team needs to do. And if you do all this planning and you leave it in a black box and no one really understands it and they need to try to read your signals to be like, oh, it seems like this is what's important, that's just not a good recipe.
Yeah. So in addition to this annual meeting, what are some tips that you have just for articulating and making clear what the next year's priorities and the goals and the strategies are going to be for the year ahead?
Well, again, you know, a big part of it is our annual company-wide. So we literally walk through the new goals for the year. And then we express, you know, the first set of rocks for the first quarter. And I think it's important to start the year off with some momentum. So I would encourage people to, whether it's at the leadership level or if you're carrying it into your department after you hear what the company-wide rocks are and the goals are, is to like get some early wins, you know, create some rocks to create some momentum and start chipping away at, you know, some of those big long-term plans. So let's just say that, you know, one of your annual goals was, you know, we need to get all of our process, you know, we need to get our five core processes fully documented and followed by all. Well, it would be good to start the year off by, hey, let's pick the first one that's most important and let's hammer that out in the first quarter. So I think one thing that's just really important, create some early momentum. I think if people can see some wins and some early successes, I think it just really motivates people versus if you feel like, wow, it's early April, we heard this rah-rah-rah plan in January, and it feels like we haven't accomplished anything. I think that can be very defeating. So start off strong is my advice there.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. You want to set some milestones along the way. If all the goals that you set, you don't know if you've achieved until this time next year, that's a pretty tough situation to live and work in all year long for your team.
Yeah, and that brings me back to when you're setting goals for a quarter, you need to write them what they call SMART. So they need to be specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. And so when we create rocks for ourselves, we kind of run them through that SMART criteria because the worst thing in the world is when you get to the end of a quarter and you have disagreement on whether the rock was actually accomplished. And that tells you that, wow, we didn't really even understand what done meant. And so it has to be crystal clear what done looks like.
Right.
And you don't want to put yourself in a position where like you don't have alignment across the company of like, oh, leadership's acting like this was accomplished, but I can tell it's really not done because it doesn't feel done.
Yeah. You can't set a goal of improve customer service.
No,
like that is not an achievable goal. But you could tie metrics to that and say, you know, reduce time for support tickets to, you know, 24 hours. I mean, you can improve customer service as an overarching goal, but that's not how you can articulate that because you don't know if you've achieved that or not.
Yeah, and a lot of times that's where if you're good at your numbers, you're good at your scorecard, you're good at, you know, the metrics that matter in the business. Let's just take customer service, for example. If you know your average ticket rating is a 4.1 and you want to get it to a 4.3, you know, that's a good goal because you've got good data. You can measure it. You can look back at, you know, previous ticket data and, you know, where are you struggling? And so, you know, that's a good example of where like a metric-based goal can really drive something that matters to the business. And it's something that's easily measurable. You get to the end of the quarter and you either hit the number or you don't.
Yeah. So you want to make sure you're baking that into this time of planning as you come to the end of the year here and hopefully have a little bit more freedom. Maybe some of the things have quieted down to where you can take the time to do this. You want to make sure that the goals that you're putting together really do have achievable metrics. You want to be able to know if you're able to accomplish these things or not, because otherwise you're really not helping people to see that you're moving towards those ultimate priorities for the business.
Yeah. And I mean, ultimately if your business has a proper 10-year plan, you're driving towards a long-term vision and it's not like you have to accomplish everything in 1 year. So I think you got to have a little patience with yourself as the business. And again, less is more. If you try to set too many annual goals, you're probably going to get none or very few of them done. So, you are a steward of the business as a leader. So you have to make sure that you set reasonable, attainable goals. Another thing we do kind of at this time of the year is we kind of reevaluate the accountability chart and we make sure that everything is proper. You know, people's responsibilities haven't changed because there's nothing worse too than giving someone a goal to accomplish something. And they're like, man, that's not really even my job anymore. So another component to what we do in our annual meeting is just revisiting the accountability chart to make sure that people are clear on what's my job and what's not my job.
Yeah. Just real quick, as we close things out here, if there is a business owner out there who feels like they're just too busy to take the time to do this, what's one encouragement you would give them to just really make this a priority for planning for 2026?
I think I would just say you're not too busy. I mean, I just think that's a poor excuse. I used to make that excuse a lot of times too when I was, you know, early in business. And if you think you're too busy to solve your problems, you're just going to be forever stuck on the hamster wheel. If you don't take a step back and work on the business and you're constantly stuck in it, then you're just kind of blinded. You can't see the things that people can easily see from the outside of like, oh man, I can see you're doing that wrong, but you're so busy doing it wrong that you're never going to fix it. So you have to do it. You take that day or two at the end of the year here, beginning of 2026, and really get away from the business, look at it from a 50,000 foot view, plan it out with your team. It's a necessity for success.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for joining us on this episode of the Business Blueprint Show as we've looked at planning for 2026. If you've got a question you'd like us to tackle in a future episode, head to businessblueprintshow.com. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.